So change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Feeding Christ or ministering to the Lord. I want to begin by having you take a look at St. John chapter 4. It is a familiar story with Christians. Jesus is on his way to Samaria, and the scripture says that he must needs go through Samaria. And some of the greatest revelations that God has ever given man have concerning the kingdom of God hasn't always been through the Jews, God's people. One came through Nebuchadnezzar, and of course Daniel interpreted it. And another great truth that the Lord revealed was to this Samaritan woman that we find in St. John chapter 4. We know the story that he stopped at Jacob's well. And you remember the story, this woman, she comes to draw water. And Jesus sees her, and Jesus says to her, to give me a drink. And in the process of Jesus sitting there and waiting, the disciples who were with him, they left him to go into town to get some food. And they were going to go into the village to purchase some food and to buy some meat so they could feed themselves and feed the Lord. That's found in verse 8. It says, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." Now, I don't know how long the disciples were gone, but it must have been quite a while, because Jesus held and had an extended conversation with this woman. And he began to talk to her about worship. He began to talk to her about her sins. And he really dealt with this woman in a wonderful, loving way. And the scriptures said that Jesus said unto her, "Give me a drink." And a very interesting dialogue that he had with his disciples when they came back. Because when they came back, just before that, she said, "I know that the Messiah, when he has come, he is going to tell me all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speaketh unto thee am he." And Jesus gave this woman a revelation of who he was there at Jacob's well. He was revealing his divinity. Yes, he had humanity, but he was revealing his divinity to this woman. Now in verse 31, in the meantime, while his disciples, they came back and they got food with them. And they said unto him in verse 31, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." They've come back. And we've gotten this food. We want you to eat. His disciples had come back and they prepared a lunch and they prepared it for Jesus. And "Master, please eat." And what Jesus said unto them is, "I have eaten and I'm full." Or verse 32 says it this way, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And the disciples are thinking that he's already eaten. And they begin to say one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Who brought him something to eat? Who brought this food to him? And the disciples were interpreting what Jesus said correctly. And they're looking around thinking, well, who fed him? And there is no evidence of anyone being around except this woman. And they were very shocked and surprised that Jesus, their Jewish Messiah, was talking to this Gentile Samaritan woman. The very fact that she was a Gentile and the very fact that she was a woman surprised them. And this is amazing to me. He is saying to his disciples, "There is something about me you don't know. You don't know what it is that feeds me. You don't know what it is that I really find substance and strength. You don't know where I get my food, but I'm telling you, I've been fed. And I've been fed wonderfully. And then he said, for my will is to please the Father and to finish his work. Now, we know that sowing the word of God into our lives, and when we witness to people, and that we are what is called sowing and reaping. We know that Jesus is talking about soul winning in the context, because when you read in verse 34, or he's talking about soul winning, right there in the context, he says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And you know that from the very beginning of time, you go way back to the garden, God's plan from the very beginning was to raise up a body of believers who would function and be able to offer fellowship to him. And in that fellowship, there would be nourishment to him. And in that give and take flow, in that conversation that takes place in prayer, and as 2 Corinthians says, in the communion of the Holy Spirit and waiting on him, oftentimes there are revelations. And there's a reason why God gave us a free will. Tonight, Lord willing, I want to preach on why God gave us a free will. And you have the freedom whether you're going to come tonight. Jesus said, this woman was converted. For the scripture says, when you look at it, the scripture says, and how do we know that she was converted? For it says that she went out after this conversation with Jesus and said, is this not the Christ? And it was her exclaiming, is this not the Christ that so ministered to the Lord? And Jesus said, I am full, I have been fed. And in that exchange of heart-to-heart talk, Jesus is saying, I have meat that you know not of. I've just gotten fed. You see, God created man for fellowship. And the scripture says that all things were made by him and for him. His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. The scripture says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now remember, Christ was in God, and he was in fellowship back at the beginning of time when he was in fellowship with Adam. And when he made Adam, it was different than anything else he made. He spoke light into existence, and he said, let the earth bring forth and the waters bring forth. But when he came to man, God reached down in the dust of the earth and made man, and God breathed into him a living soul. And God made him in his image, and there is this sweet fellowship that God has with Adam. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we know the story when Adam sinned. That fellowship was broken because of sin. And God's first words when he showed up in the garden was, Adam, where art thou? He knew where he was. But there is a cry in that heart of Adam, where art thou? Because fellowship had been broken. Now please follow me. You go from there to Genesis chapter 5, where Enoch was taken up into heaven. You see, after fellowshipping with the Lord, Enoch fellowshiped with God for 365 years. And the scripture says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And you look at those that God took and cut their lives short in a good way, and I want us to see why. Do you know that God took Enoch, I believe, in midlife? Because At that time, all of his peers were living to be much older. That was back in the days where they were living to be 6, 7, 8, and in the case of Methuselah, 969 years old. If I ever meet anybody and I say, "How you doing?" They say, "Oh, I'm old." I say, "No, you're not old. Methuselah, he's old. You're not old." I really receive that teaching now that I'm in the 60s. I'm not old. My kids say, "Daddy, you're getting old." You hush. But why did God cut Enoch's life short, and why would he take him in the prime of his life? And you see, the Bible says Enoch walked with God, and it was in this fellowship that Enoch, in walking with God, the connotation is they're really close, that Enoch was offering food. He had become so close in his walk that the Lord said, "Enoch, I'm going to translate you into my kingdom to where there is no day nor night, so I can have endless fellowship with you. I want you closer, Enoch. I want you in my heart. In fact, Enoch, you have won your way into my heart." How many know it's easy for your grandchildren to enter into your heart? My daughter, when she, either one of them, sends me pictures of my grandchildren, I mean, we shut down everything and go take a look at it. And now the latest one is little Brocky. He's walking, but now he's learned how to slide down the stairs backwards. But he's entered into my heart. How many know what it is for somebody to win your heart? And Enoch, because of this endless fellowship of 365 years, he's entered into the heart of God. And God is saying, "I want you to be closer. I want you to be in my heart. You've won your way into my heart. And it's been such food to me, Enoch." You see, God brought Enoch into his kingdom because of the power and the depth and the intensity of the fellowship that was taking place with the Lord. And another one is Moses. Although God did not do to him like he did Enoch, there was still such a bond of fellowship that God had with Moses that was different than others. And why did call Moses when he was in his full health and strength? It was also because of Moses that had such a communion and a fellowship with God. He had face-to-face encounters and meetings he had with the Lord. In fact, he came down out of the mountains. Moses goes up on the mountain to be with God 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, the Bible says there was a shine on his face. Now listen, it wasn't the law that put a shine on his face. The law can't put a shine on anybody's face. It was because of fellowship. It was that time alone with God. And I believe it was Christ that was on that mountain, and there was sweet fellowship that God had with Moses. And he had him go up to the mountain and die and abide alone. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, "I would rather be with the Lord, but because of you, I have to stay here." I'm sure that made the church feel real good. But it is a sweet thought to get close to God and to take him and for him to take us home to eternity. And the other one that God took was Elijah. God sends a chariot to this man. He was, and at this time of Elijah's life, he had just come out of depression. And Elijah was doing quite well. I mean, he's at the top of his game. He has now got some great activities going on with the kings. And God sends a whirlwind, or in that whirlwind is a chariot. And Elijah gets on board, and Elijah cries, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." But that brings light to this scripture that says, "Where two or three are gathered into my name, there I am in the midst of them." And when it talks about God being in the midst where two or three are gathered in his name, it's not just a speech because there's two. He's talking about an intimacy that is taking place, that he's there in the midst of them. But these are the two, Moses and Elijah, that he gathered on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you'll recall, Jesus brings with him Peter, James, and John. And the three of them go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, let me just say this right at this. This is not about Peter, James, and John. This is about a fellowship that the Lord Jesus is having up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says in Matthew 17 that as Jesus is there, that suddenly he's transfigured before them. And our Savior, the Scripture says, remember when Moses came down out of the mountain and his face was so shining and it was so bright? They said, Moses, please put a veil over it. It was a result of him having such an intimate fellowship with God. God spoke to him face to face. And yet now, here is our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Scripture says, his face shined like the sun, and his raiment was as white. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah, and they are talking to Jesus. Now, what that means, when you look up that word in the Greek, talking unto him, it means in the Greek there is a union and a fellowship that is really close. And Moses and Elijah is fellowshipping with a condemned man. Jesus is about to be crucified. And here, Jesus gets his last meal, a gift from his heavenly Father. Because it was in the process of this communion and fellowshipping with Moses and with Elijah that it was food unto Jesus and strength unto him. Now we know they were talking about his decease, but in that there was such a mixture of love and gratitude and give and take between them. That experience has nothing to do with the disciples. The Lord didn't do that because he was trying to impress the disciples. Because when you read, Jesus said, you tell no man of what you see. This isn't about you. It has to do with me and in this fellowship. And no, we don't know exactly what they talked about. It says about his decease, but Jesus knew the plan from the very beginning and the foundation of the world. He knew the cost when he came. And this is a gift from the Heavenly Father to send these two. And in that communion that he has, it gives strength to Jesus. And he draws his strength and nourishment from this talk of intimate fellowship. And it was food. I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 17, because if there's anything that brings this truth home, it's found in this passage in Luke 17 verses 7 through 10. It's a wonderful, touching story. It's really the heart of my message. Jesus said, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down? No, Jesus said, that's not how it works. He said, when the master, and we know in the story, the master is Jesus. And he says, when a master has his servants about in the field, and he brings them in, does he say, sit down and I'm going to serve you? And Jesus said, no. He said, I will not rather say unto him, now you make ready wherewith I may sup. And you gird yourself, and you serve me till I have eaten, until I have drunken. And afterward thou shalt eat and drink. And then Jesus says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And we learn from this passage that Jesus is the master. We're the servants, but learn from this that our highest calling in the Lord is to feed and have intimate fellowship with him. That is your highest calling. My call is to fellowship, and by so doing it feeds him. But by feeding him, I am blessed. And here is proof that we are called to fellowship and to feed Christ. Now, in backing up at first glance, this command, it seems harsh and demanding. But nothing could be further from the truth. Do you remember the godly prophet Elijah that gave a similar command when he said to the widow? Elijah told her, "You make me a cake. I eat first, and then you." And we think, well, you stingy, greedy prophet, you. But really, no. Elijah is the type of Christ, and the woman is the type of the bride. Make me a cake first, and then you may eat. And what actually is being said in both passages is we are to put the kingdom of God first, and then everything else will be given to you. And when I see what Jesus is really saying here, my heart melts. Because to understand this, he had already said to his disciples, "I have called you friends." Before it was servants, but now I'm calling you friends. John 15:15. And now he's saying, in essence, you're my servants, but I call you friends. And there is a need in me that the Lord is saying that only your friendship can meet. You don't minister to me when it is out of servanthood, but when it is out of friendship and that communion, you meet a need to me. You've been out in the fields all day laboring for me, and you're tired and you're hungry, but before I feed you, I want you to do something for me. I want you to come and sit at my table. And I want to tell you, and I look forward to this time each day when I can have fellowship with you. And when it says gird yourselves, it means that I am to gird myself. And I'm to say, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to come into his presence. And I'm going to seek him and fellowship with him. We're not to picture this servant as a waiter who is scurrying and frantically trying to please his master, going from the kitchen to the table. No, the servant that Christ presents here is in the image of a friend. Someone who's invited to simply sit and listen. And the master is telling him, "I've missed you. I know you've been out laboring in the field," which we do. We go out and we labor for the Lord. We're co-laborers. But now, after I've been out to, whether I've been at the park and whether I've ministered to you or whether I've ministered to people, and each of us has our calling, we labor in where God has called us. Now, when that's all said and done, now I get with God. And the Lord said, "Now I want us to fellowship and have communion. That's where I want you to unburden your heart, but then let me speak to you. And let me fellowship back with you." You see, feeding Christ isn't a one-way relationship with us when we pray doing all the talking. We feed our master by rejoicing to hear his voice. We minister food to him by, after we pray, then we listen. And we patiently wait on the Lord. The Lord described it this way in Ezekiel. "The sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary," God said. Here's what God said. "They shall come near to me to minister unto me. They shall enter to my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me." The Zadok priest, they had the highest calling among God's people. And what did the Lord ask of them? He wanted them to minister to him at his table. And we do this today by giving our Lord an ear to hear his voice. That's why Jesus is speaking the same kind of table intimacy in the book of Revelation when he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice." I've been hearing your voice, but now I want you to wait in my presence. And you hear my voice, and open the door, and I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. And Christ, in essence, is saying, "I'm here waiting to come inside for table talk with you. I want to feed you, and let you feed me." It seems the word unprofitable servant, it sounds so uncharitable, but that doesn't line up with God's character. In reality, the Greek word for unprofitable here means unmeritorious, and the word for duty means benefit. In short, every faithful servant should admit, there is nothing meritorious in what I've done. I've only done that which benefits me. Everything I do for God, it benefits me. When I've been out in the field and I'm talking and when you're talking, it benefits me. And Jesus is saying, in other words, don't leave my presence thinking my master has to be grateful towards me. I gave him quality time today and now he owes me. How many know grace can't be earned? Grace cannot be earned. It's a gift freely given to you. And my commandments, the Bible said they're not grievous. On the contrary, they benefit you. So whenever you feed me, the Lord says, don't count it as meritorious good work. Such acts don't build up credit against sin. The matter of feeding Christ ought to humble us deeply. And we should ask ourselves, why would Jesus want me near him? I'm so weak and I'm prone to failure. And yet he says, when I wait on him and get close to him and listen to his voice, it feeds him. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples, I've just been fed. I just had a great exchange and communion with this woman. And revelation was given to her. He says it's food to him when I hunger to hear him speak. How many remember when Jesus rose from the dead? Sister Debbie made a great comment in Sunday school class a few weeks ago about recognizing a minister talking about Jesus' humanity. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he still has his humanity. In fact, if it was me, how many know what it is to get in the flesh? If I'd have just been crucified, who would I want to show up first and to reveal myself? Right at the top of my head, which isn't very high up, I would say, you know, I'd like to go to Pilate, the one who sentenced me, and go, na 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 na. Or maybe I'd like to go to the soldiers, even though I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe I'd like to show up to them first and say, you can't keep a good man down. But he didn't. Who does he show up to first? The Lord is hungry. And on the road to Emmaus, he meets these two. And in that conversation, as Jesus is talking to them, and he sees that they're sad and says, why are you sad? And they said, haven't you heard? The one that we thought that was Messiah, he's been killed. And Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said concerning him. And Jesus, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he began to speak to them. And there is this heart-to-heart exchange talk that's taking place. And you remember when Jesus, he got to the place where they were going to go into the house, it says he was going to go on further. He didn't want to go on further, but he wanted them to reach out and say, no, come inside. And so they constrained him and he went in. And remember when it said later that did not our hearts burn as we were talking in communion and they had food and fed Jesus? And then it said Jesus fed them. A beautiful picture of we feed him. And then when they did, a greater revelation came. And I want you to know that revelation was birthed out of intimacy. Their eyes were opened and they saw him. Do you know the greatest intimate times and the greatest revelations you're going to have of God is when you get closer yourself and you minister to the Lord? Now let me share with you what happened to me that has so humbled me. And I'm still walking in a weepy state of what happened. I go to pray. I have my prayer time. I have a list and a memory, and I go over the people in the church, and I pray for every one of you. I call your name out. And then I pray for my family, and these are not particularly in order. I just wait on the Lord, and then I'll pray for my family. I pray for my wife. I pray for my daughters. I pray for Brocky. I pray for Julian. I pray for you. I pray for your needs. I pray for the community. I pray for the leaders in our country. I pray for revival. I pray God will forgive us of our sins that we have committed. And as I got done, I walked back and I was ready to lay down. And let me say, the last 2 weeks, I have sensed a presence of God that I have not felt in years. I have felt a closeness, and I've been aware of it, and I've been reminding the Lord, Lord, you've been so close to me. I appreciate, I just know 24/7 that you're with me and you're there. I don't know what's going on, but I've been aware of it, and it's made me feel like I'm walking on holy ground, and in my activities, I'm constantly aware of this presence that has been there. The other night, after I got done praying, I went to lay down. And as I lay down, I pray you believe me when I tell you this. But I heard the Lord call my name and say, please don't leave me. And I broke. I just sobbed. And I thought, Lord, who am I? And I realized He was wanting to be fed. And He was wanting fellowship. And I just wept. And I broke. And I said, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want to share with me, I'm putting the clock away. I'm just, here I am. Whatever it is. And I'm not saying that I heard some great revelations. The revelation was the fact that I realized that He was hungry and He desired fellowship, and He received strength from that. How many know He wants you closer? He wants you closer. And when He said to the disciples, I've been fed, it was because of that exchange with that woman. God wants fellowship in this church with Him. Acquaint thyself now with Him and be at peace. It's one thing to pray for our needs, and that we must do. But it's another thing to stop and say, Lord, I'm here to love you and to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I'm here to say that He loves every one of you. And that He longs for fellowship with you. Would you stand with me this morning, please? That's what Revelation chapter 3 is about, when He says to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to be able to share His heart with you. Of what's on His heart and what's on His mind. I know what's on my heart, but He wants to share His heart with you. Heavenly Father, I have delivered that which You have so given to me, and I've been so humbled by it. Oh, may we walk humbly with our God. And how You love us. and how you long for that fellowship. And I pray that we would be people that fellowship with you, and to hear that still small voice. Not what we say, and you're concerned with that, but what you have to say, your concerns, your heart for us. Perhaps that's what you mean when it said in Psalms, deep calls unto deep, and out of the deepest parts of us, may we be one with you. I'm going to ask that you, I don't even know how to close this, but I'm going to ask that you just find a place to pray where you're at. And would you go ahead and just commune with the Lord before you go? He loves you. He died for you. I pray that you'll never look at prayer the same way, and that you'll look at prayer as a two-way street. Not that you haven't, but that he become first. For those of you that must go, the Lord bless you. We'll fellowship afterwards, but Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And he desires for us to talk to him in it. So I encourage you to pray this morning. And may the Lord bless you, and you have a great week.